Good morning. This is the Commonwealth Times Daily Broadsheet for Wednesday, April 1st, 2026. I'm reading from Boston. In Commerce and Capital this morning, a stark and deeply consequential disclosure. The United States possesses roughly 8 weeks of rare earth mineral reserves available for military use, a figure that, if accurate, places an effective clock on Washington's capacity to sustain its campaign against Iran. The report, first published by the South China Morning Post and subsequently amplified by Foreign Policy and other outlets, illuminates a vulnerability that American defense planners have understood for years but never corrected. The first 36 hours of the U.S.-Israeli strikes against Iran consumed more than 3,000 precision-guided munitions and interceptors, every one of which depends on rare earth permanent magnets, neodymium, dysprosium, terbium, for its guidance and propulsion. China controls 60% of global rare earth mining and more than 90% of the refining that converts raw ore into usable material. Which is to say, the arsenal of the Republic runs, at its most elemental level, through Beijing. Restocking America's magazines is not merely a manufacturing problem. It is a geopolitical dependency of the first order, and at present, there is no remedy within the timeline that warfare demands. Turning now to the world of arts and letters, though this story belongs as much to the courtroom as to the bookshelf. The publisher of the Chicken Soup for the Soul franchise, a series that has sold more than 500 million copies worldwide, filed suit on March the 17th in the Northern District of California against 8 of the most powerful technology companies on Earth, alleging that the entire generative artificial intelligence industry was built upon a foundation of pirated books. The defendants are Apple, Google, Meta, OpenAI, Anthropic, Nvidia, Perplexity, and Elon Musk's xAI. The complaint traces the alleged chain of infringement to a single act, the downloading of copyrighted works from Library Genesis, a shadow library repeatedly enjoined by federal courts, by an OpenAI employee in 2018. Those files, the suit alleges, trained GPT-3, which established the commercial template that every subsequent defendant followed. The open-source collective Eleuther AI then packaged some 200,000 pirated books into a dataset called The Pile, which the remaining defendants allegedly adopted as foundational training material. Whether this theory of cascading liability survives judicial scrutiny will shape the economics of artificial intelligence for a generation. Turning now to the affairs of the Republic, and to a matter that strikes at the structural integrity of the American military. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth has unilaterally removed the names of at least 6 decorated officers, 4 Army colonels, 2 from another service branch, from the promotion list for Brigadier General. The 4 Army officers are 2 black men and 2 women, drawn from a list of roughly 3 dozen colonels, most of whom are white men. The New York Times first reported that Hegseth had pressed Army Secretary Daniel Driscoll for months to make the removals. Driscoll repeatedly refused, citing decades of exemplary service. Hegseth then struck the names himself. The pretexts do not survive scrutiny. One black armor officer and combat veteran was reportedly targeted for an academic paper, written more than a decade ago, analyzing why African-American soldiers historically gravitated toward support roles. A female logistics officer was singled out for serving during the Afghanistan withdrawal, a retreat whose strategic architecture was laid during the first Trump administration. The merit-based promotion system is not an ornament of military culture. It is the mechanism by which the armed forces sustain trust, lethality, and the willingness of talented Americans to serve. What Hegseth has done is not reform. It is the substitution of political ideology for professional judgment, and it weakens the Republic at a moment when it can least afford weakness. Still in the agora, and to the matter of a government that has ceased to function on even its most elementary terms.
The Department of Homeland Security has now been unfunded for 44 days. Longer than any government shutdown in the history of the United States. And every member of Congress who might resolve it has left Washington for a 2-week Easter recess. The record was set on Sunday, surpassing last autumn's 43-day full government closure. 260,000 federal employees across 23 components, the Coast Guard, FEMA, the Secret Service, the TSA, are working without pay or operating under severe constraint. The proximate cause is a dispute over immigration and customs enforcement. Senate Democrats have demanded guardrails on enforcement operations, visible identification for agents, prohibitions on raids near schools and churches, judicial warrants before agents enter private property. These demands intensified after the fatal shootings of 2 American citizens by federal agents in Minnesota. Republicans have refused the conditions. Neither side has moved. And so, Congress has done what this Congress does when confronted with the crisis it created. It has adjourned. And finally, from the Agora, the question of what it means when millions of Americans take to the streets. On Saturday, March the 28th, the No Kings Coalition staged what organizers declared the largest single-day nonviolent protest in modern American history. More than 8 million participants at upward of 3,300 events across all 50 states, with solidarity demonstrations on six continents. The flagship rally at the Minnesota State Capitol in St. Paul drew an estimated 200,000 people, a figure that, if confirmed, would surpass the Twin Cities turnout for the 2017 Women's March. Minnesota was chosen deliberately. The state remains a flashpoint following the January killings of Renee Good and Alex Priddy, two American citizens shot by federal immigration agents during Operation Metro Surge. The Associated Press, NBC, CBS, ABC, PBS, and Reuters all confirmed crowds of extraordinary scale, from Manhattan to rural Idaho. Whether these numbers prove precisely accurate under independent review is, for the purposes of national reckoning, secondary. Something very large happened on Saturday. A republic in which citizens march by the millions is a republic still breathing, and a republic whose government would be foolish not to listen. That is the Daily Broadsheet for Wednesday, April 1st, 2026. The Commonwealth Times. Pro Republica Edificamus.